this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today I'm going to talk about the best way to get out of your head when you're in your head when you're acting. I'll explain. Well, here we are in the holidays, and just after the holidays, in January, I'll be heading out to a number of places, New York and Toronto, and at the end of the month, I think Vancouver. So if you're in any of those places and you want to take a real-life actor acting class, email me at jeff@reallifeactor.com. It seems that recently, this idea of not being able to get out of your head, that thing has come up more than a couple of times in some classes I was teaching up in Vancouver and in town here in LA. It's the thing that seems to haunt most actors. Understandably, no one wants to be in their head having thoughts about, you know, how they're doing, what they're doing, is it working, is it not, whatever these cascading thoughts are that bring the actor out of the moment, making them feel guilty and self-aware, and then they want to stop the scene. Or certainly, as soon as it's over, they're only too happy and quick to tell you how in it they weren't. I get it. Therein lies the trick, right? I mean, how do we do this? How do we sit inside ourselves, in our shoes, doing our thing, in our acting, in our scene, and not be so completely aware of everything we're doing? I mean, it is the aspiration to be able to get away from that. I'm sure you would agree, to be able to just, you know, be doing what you're doing, to be in the moment so all in that, you know, you're not even thinking about your own stuff. You feel like you're doing life, you know. You're having these genuine moments, and hopefully someone's capturing it on film or people are watching it in a big theater. I mean, that is what we aspire to. Could we all agree on that? Okay, so I'm sure many of you suffer from this malady where you go to act and then you just become painfully aware of your own presence, what you're doing, how it's going, how you're feeling. You see yourself looking at the other person, you start to feel phony, that leads to more of these thoughts, and pretty soon you just feel like a big fake. Yep. Hear about it all the time. You hear about it in auditions. You hear about it in rehearsal. You know, in class, you hear about it. They hate it. You know, and it's understandable. The actor wants to be, you know, honest and, you know, in the pocket right there doing their thing. They don't want to be some cheater who's kind of sitting back watching themselves giving you, you know, fake work. Actors don't want to feel that way. And a lot do. I'm sure some of you listening right now, whether or not you do it all the time, it does come to haunt you, and it does bother you, and it almost starts like kind of a siphon where you just start becoming very aware of yourself, and then that just starts a thing, and it's downhill, and, you know, pretty soon you just feel like a bonehead, and you'd like to take it again, do it again, figure out what to do next, because, you know, it's a problem. I'm going to tell you the best way to get out of that. I've talked about this in other podcasts, but this is one of those recurring issues that I feel philosophically as a teacher that it is best for me to hit it from as many different angles as I can and discuss it from different points of view, because what I have found is that actors on a given day, at a given moment, in a given situation, suddenly a set of words will click and the lights will go on. So I'm going to endeavor to do that today by approaching this from yet another practical angle, a way that will ensure that you will be able to keep yourself from falling into that trap of becoming self-aware and, you know, really aware of your own self and just hoping you can get through the scene and hopefully nobody will notice that, you know, you were full of shit. I get it. I'm going to tell you a good cure for this. I'm going to tell you a good way to get out of it. You know, I'm not surprised that actors would suffer from this because traditional acting, whether it means to or not, has a way of making the actor hyper-focus on himself. Because traditional acting has you focusing on a number of things that have to do with yourself, you know, how you're feeling, what your inner monologue is, what your action verb is, you know, where you're putting the beat, what your choice is, what your secondary objective is, you know, what are you trying to accomplish in the scene? Are you accomplishing it? Feeling the emotions that you have kind of studied and decided should be present because, you know, that's just how that goes. And then that beat is hysteria. And in that beat, you want to make sure that you got that thing going on, you know. Without meaning to, traditional acting has us looking inward almost constantly in the guise of wanting to make sure that we are being honest. It just seems like, well, how else would you know you're being honest and complete and thorough if you weren't constantly monitoring all those things? If you weren't constantly monitoring, you know, your progress, your implementation of these ideas, you see, there has to be this consciousness that is standing guard at its post, waiting to see if we are going to accomplish all the things we've kind of planned out in this traditional way of working, where we sit down and we break down our script and we think about the things we want to do, and then, you know, and we kind of, without meaning to, set up a set of obligations, you see, for ourselves as the actor, things we want to hit, places we want to be, emotions we want to feel, and we've kind of planned it all out. Now, follow me here. Doesn't it stand to reason that if we, you know, again, in the guise of wanting to be a great actor and be thorough and multi-layered and clever and potent and, you know, all of the good things, doesn't it stand to reason that if we set up a system based on kind of what we'd like to achieve, how we'd like to imbue our performance with whatever emotions that we just feel are needed, doesn't it stand to reason that the entire time we're working then, we will have to kind of keep one thumb on our pulse just to make sure that everything is working? Doesn't it also stand to reason that if then we don't meet one of those moments, if we don't quite do it the way we hoped, achieve it at the level we hope to achieve it, doesn't it stand to reason that while we're feeling this heartbeat, making these decisions about how we're doing at the moment, are we, in effect, fulfilling our obligations that we had with regard to how we wanted to see this scene come off? Doesn't it stand to reason that that preoccupation would only feed on itself and we would suddenly be tumbling backwards into all sorts of unnecessary thoughts? Doesn't that stand to reason? I don't know how else you do it. I really don't. I don't know how else you set up a system of ideas that you have, you know, meticulously laid out with all of the, you know, action verbs for every line, whatever, and things that, you know, these acting balls that we kind of want to juggle while we act. I mean, doesn't it make sense that we'd be constantly wondering, are we juggling these acting balls properly? Or, you know, is it working? Are we doing it? Is it happening? It just seems to me that there would be a built-in preoccupation with your own self, your own performance, and whether or not you were fulfilling your own obligations that you had imposed on this particular performance. is not like actors sit around and talk about it this way. No, there's this part that's just supposed to be kind of magical, where then we just forget everything and then we go and we just do la la, just, you know, just it happens. And then all of that pre-thinking, I don't know, goes by the wayside. Yeah, sometimes, not a lot though. Not a lot, because the people that make these kinds of plans, man, that's just part of their nature to make sure that it all gets done. Because they want to be thorough, multi-layered, authentic, well-thought-out actors. Who wouldn't want to aspire to that? Who wouldn't want to be known as one of those? I just believe, philosophically, there is something inherently dangerous about being preoccupied with the minutiae and detailery of a given performance. I just think there's something inherently dangerous there, because I think that it's just going to kind of become too self-aware for all the aforementioned reasons. Now, I think that, you know, the actor of the 21st century, I think what the actor of the 21st century is doing that's really, you know, the way to do it, is that you have a very good understanding of what's going on and who is what to whom and why what is. You understand the mechanics of the scene and what your part is in it, but you don't over-obligate yourself to a bunch of notes you want to hit. Instead, what you do is you obligate yourself to the message you want to get across to those other characters in the show. Now, I want you to appreciate the difference, you see, because here's how you cure this problem of becoming too self-aware of how you're doing, what you're doing, while you're doing it. Is it good? Is it bad? I'm going to give you the cure for that. And I'm going to tell you what I tell actors when they're going through it. Because to me, it is the cure. It's an honest cure. It's a right cure. It's a life cure. It's what cures it in life, actually, as opposed to, you know, when we're playing make-believe as actors. You see, the opposite of wondering how you're doing, how it's working, you know, are you making your points, you know, are you present, are you connected? Are you, you know, all these things that you're monitoring yourself. Rather than putting your focus on something like that, you actually put your focus on the same thing we do in life when we're communicating, and that is the other person. Think about it. Yes, there are times where we become somewhat contemplative, where we look inside for a moment when we're in some social circumstance or setting. But most of the time, we're kind of lost in this, well, obligation, if you will, to make sure that we are thoroughly communicating what we're trying to communicate, but that the other person is getting it. We're really doing it for their benefit. When they're speaking to us, we're listening to them out of kind of a social decorum, kind of an unsaid agreement that, you know, I'll talk and you'll listen and you'll care, and then you'll talk and I'll listen and I'll care. You know, that's how society is. That's how we are with our friends. And so if you think about it, it's really simple in life, because you just kind of intuitively know that if, while a friend of yours was talking to you, telling you something, discussing something with you, if you were off in your mind just kind of whittling away on the idea of, oh, am I here? Am I not? Why am I so self-aware? Blah, 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 blah. Man, you know, you just cut that stuff out immediately in real life. It happens. You become a little self-aware, but you cut it out immediately. You cut it out immediately because you have decided your obligation to be present for the person you're speaking with, or your obligation to talk with them or negotiate with them or whatever the deal is in any given scene. Your obligation to do that and be present in real life transcends the idea of whether I'm doing it right. That's how we aren't as preoccupied with it in real life. is that we intuitively, we simply make the choice, making my points thoroughly, clearly, focusing on the other person, really listening to what they have to say to me, understanding their stories, you know, having my empathy present when they're speaking to me, that I've decided that these things are more important than me constantly keeping some sort of, you know, EKG going on my acting performance. Why? Because in real life, we don't afford ourselves that kind of sensitive and, you know, almost selfish kind of preoccupation. We're not so shallow. And it's definitely not hard. We just don't do it. But the actor, you see, becomes preoccupied in the guise of, I want to be a great actor. I want to care through and through. But what's actually happening is that very thing that they want to make sure they don't do, as a result of making sure they don't do it consciously the entire time they're acting, well, they're actually undermining the very performance that they want to be noble, true, and real about. This indulging in sitting there and thinking about what you're doing and how you're doing and is it good, it isn't, oh my goodness, why can't I pay attention, blah, blah, blah. All this, you know, allowed, silly, it really is kind of selfish, you know. I mean, for God's sake, don't you have any control over yourself? Stop doing that. You don't do it in life the same way. I want you to really think about that. I think the best way to learn about this stuff, that's why, you know, I keep telling you, it's why I call it the Real Life Actors. We just kind of go to the book of life. How is it in life? I'll admit, I come out sometimes in real life. I even worry about it a little bit. I wonder if people can tell that I'm not really listening anymore. But, you know, as I've mentioned many times in these podcasts, because I don't really give that any energy, it's 20 minutes later and I realize, oh, I've forgotten that thought from 20 minutes ago and I'm right where I need to be. I'm here in the pocket talking to this person present and I'm not hyper aware of whatever it is I may not be doing. It is an indulgence on the actor's part. It really is. And I don't mean that to be critical of you or to disrespect you in any way or trivialize the problem. I'm saying it that way because I want you to gain power over it. And you can gain power over it if you really see it for what it is. It's just foolish time spent. I'd like to tell you that what I'm saying to you right now would be like a light going on, like, you know, there's a click and you might just think, oh, I got it, and then go on and then, you know, be doing that from now on. But for most of you, I would hope that you kind of get it. Even if it's dimly, you can kind of see it. You're thinking, yeah, that's kind of, I could see how that could work. Yeah, I just kind of don't give myself this attention, and I won't because the right thing to do is to, out of respect to the other person, don't think inwardly like that, not on the other person's time. So out of respect, I'm just going to be more present. I'm not going to worry about that thing that's going on that I've always been preoccupied with. Instead, I'm going to take that energy, and I'm really going to put it on everything going toward you. What's happening with you? What are you saying to me? What is this thing we're doing? How are you feeling about what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me put it outward. Let me send that energy outward. Let me not take it and turn it around and microscopically watch myself. It is an indulgence. It's counterproductive. It's not the kind of professional you want to be. So stop doing it. Be the best audience in the world for the other person that you're acting with. And do it not out of some kind of magic that you hope will occur, but do it because you can listen and see and think and you know how to do this. So just do that. But do not become preoccupied with some superficial concept of a conjuring that you want to do, of some sort of magnificent performance. I know you don't set out to do that. I realize that. But it's kind of what's actually the goal. When if the goal is the same as it is always in life with regard to communicate who we're communicating with, why, what's going on, what am I trying to find out, you know, what do I need to get across, what do you need to understand about me, what is it you're saying, and how can I use that information to do what I'm, you know, this kind of an honest preoccupation and gamesmanship just naturally takes us out of our own head with regard to how we're doing. You know, in real life, there are people in society, maybe in some of the circles that you travel in, who you can just sense are just too self-aware. They're just too focused on themselves about how they're doing, what they're doing. You know, that they, oh, I shouldn't have done it that way. Why did I tell that to him? I should have done this. And they're always, you know, wringing their hands over, you know, how they could have. And, you know, there are people like that. I'm assuming there are not a lot in your life like that, because most people don't like these people as friends. They give you the heebie-jeebies. They make you uncomfortable. They make you nervous. You just wish they would just relax and not worry about all that shit. And just, let's be friends here. Here. Try this. Eat that. Let's go see a movie. And not have this constant hyper thing going on. Am I getting it right? Those people just make us nervous. And that's kind of what an actor does. So from now on, don't do that. Be there for the benefit of the other person. Don't allow yourself to do something like that, because you know it's disrespectful to the person that you're talking to. You can think about yourself inwardly later when you're at home having some tea. But while you're working, put everything you got, all your focus. And if you start to think inward, say, hey, don't do that. It's disrespectful. There's a person here, a humanoid I got to talk to. I need to get some thoughts across. You know, you need to understand this. Let me just put my focus on that, and not on this other indulgent. How am I doing? What's going on? I thought I'd be funnier. No. It doesn't work. And then you just get up in your head and you think you're allowed to. So then you sit there indulging while, you know, another human's in front of you talking to you. And you're saying, I can't. I just can't seem to focus. Really? You wouldn't do that in life. You would just turn it around, do the right thing. If you felt that coming on, or if that's what you thought you were doing, you wouldn't make that same choice in life. Don't make it when you act. There you go, you're cured. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.